Hello, Nightcap friends. Sorry about the slight momentary delay. As you can see, I have my very cool, slightly Steven Seagal-esque... Well, no, he usually wears, like, shooting glasses. He wears, like, those high-visibility shooting glasses. I have on... these are blue block... Well, not blue blocker. Well, they're blue light. They're meant for looking at screens. I have a little bit of an ocular headache. And so, to come down with the lights and all that sort of thing, this will help me. King Dinosaur, feel. Tell you what, we'll do this. I forget the... Look at this. All right, so, we'll do... This fits almost in perfectly with the episode. Okay? And a hello to King Dinosaur, who's expecting a phone call. And hello to Black Cat's Poppy, who steps in and says, cool glasses. Well, thank you. I used to wear glasses for a large portion of my life. And then contacts. But now I need neither of those things because I had laser surgery. And it's a thing that I feel like, again, fits into the episode title, which is Forbidden Nielsen, which is a play on both Forbidden Planet and Leslie Nielsen. Leslie Nielsen starring in the movie Forbidden Planet in one of his completely non-goofy roles. Leslie Nielsen played a heavy in a fair amount of movies. And I feel like that gets kind of overlooked and underrated. He was like an assassin. And I think, I don't know if it was an episode of the A-Team or something. But he was like, he was great as a fucking hard ass. And he plays an absolute creep in Creepshow. but we're going to talk about a little bit of some futuristic-ish stuff. And so along with me getting my eyeballs lasered... King Dinosaur has said that he needs a pair of these glasses. I will tell you right off the bat, these were one of those things that I initially thought were kind of silly, hokey, and people wore them to, you know, I don't know, I want to wear glasses and, like, look cooler or whatever. But honestly, they really do work. And so the brand that I have bought... you can buy these ones called Gunner Optics that tend to be pretty expensive. But the ones that I've got are by a brand called Gamma Ray, which also, again, fits in with the futuristic sci-fi sort of thing. But these have a variety of frames. They do block blue light. They really do work. They will reduce eye strain if you're looking at a computer screen all day. They help if you get that strung out feeling, especially if you're working on a computer at night and you find, like, why am I so awake? I just want to go to sleep. Well, it's probably from too much blue light exposure. These can help. And this brand has a lot of different good styles to them. And they have them for a variety, variety of uses. Obviously, the ones that I have were made for computer use. I think these are probably the ones I have, the Starks. But as you can see, they have a variety of frame styles depending on the look that you sort of favor. I kind of liked these. And as you look at these, what you will see is that other than some of the other brands that are out there, again, the Gunner Optics tend to be pretty expensive. These are like under $20. And so you can get, when you look at this, okay, they tell you that you get one pair, alleviates visual fatigue and discomfort. Light sensitivity, come with UV400 protection. It's a flexible TR90 nylon frame for about 19 plus inches away. Blah, blah, blah. Select your normal reading power. And so you can get these as readers if you wish. So I highly recommend these. I mean, for $20-some, And looking at the variety of styles that they have, if you want them for sport use, they do have a bifocal style that you can use for sport use. But this is a great product. These are a great product. They're lightweight. They come with a real nice snap case and a cleaning cloth. I'll put the link to these here in the chat. But these are very economical. My dad bought me these 1 year. I was talking about them, and it was funny because my dad was starting to get some headache issues when he was looking at his computer and his tablet. I said, "Well, I think you have the same problem I had. Don't you remember buying me, like, you bought those for me?" And he's like, "Really? I can't remember that." I was like, "No, it was like a couple of years ago. You bought those for me, and they really help. They really do work." But again, you look at these, they got a whole variety of styles and colors, but look at the prices. Most of these are under $20. They range anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to about 15, 16, depending on what you're going to get and the style that you want. Maybe they'll help you, maybe they won't. I know some people go, "Oh, I bought them because they were supposed to cut down migraines and they didn't help." It's like, well, it has to be because of the light from that. If it's not, that's not really going to help you. But they help me quite a bit. So on days like today where my eyes are feeling a little overstrained, I wear them. And they do work. And in the very slight tint of the yellow isn't so much so that it makes you feel, again, like you're looking through shooting glasses. So I've been wearing these for the last couple hours. I had some stuff to do around the house. That's why I was late. I was trying to do laundry and get all that stuff done. And it's been kind of a busy day. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. But here's a cheers to all of you out there. So I had a follow-up with a doctor appointment today to get a refill on all my prescriptions, and I was a little bit nervous. I had a little bit of the lab coat jitters when I was in there, and part of the reason for that is because if you haven't heard me talk about this yet and/or before, I'm very much planning on moving to Arizona, and one of the last remaining sort of things that still worry me a little bit is my job. However, when I talked to the doctor today and outlined how I felt and my reasoning and this and that and the other, I said it would be great. And he said, "I think I know where you're going." So he wrote me a doctor's note and recommendation that I move to a warmer, drier climate to help with some of my physical issues. So, at the very least, I do have a doctor's note to assist in me moving. So, that kind of alleviated some pressure and stress. I've also decided, and maybe not, maybe decided is the wrong word, but in talking to my father, let's go back and bring up another browser window. So, in talking to my father, there's a component of, well, if I'm going to move stuff, I'm probably going to have to get some sort of moving truck or pod or whatever. Because while I can fit stuff in my truck, it doesn't have that much space. And he was like, "Well, depending on the price of getting a moving truck and this and that and the other, how about is a little bit of a moving gift. Let's talk about possibly splitting the cost and getting a truck bed cap," which was something that I originally hadn't considered. And so, in looking at these, what I think is kind of cool about this is that, number one, I kind of like the look of the one that's flat with the cab because it kind of just makes it look like an off-road Suburban. I like this one that's called the Pace because the Pace has screens in the windows, But then my dad, he likes this one that actually bumps up a little bit. And I'm curious to know, what do you guys think? You know, if you were to get one of these and you had a truck, would you opt for the one that's got a little bit of the mid-rise that's a little taller? Or would you go for the one that looks like this that is basically flat? Now, originally I was on board with the, oh, I should just get the one that's flat. But then doing some reading and some thinking about this, there was part of me that said, well, if I do have this and I am going to have this on a truck and I'm going to be out there in Arizona, it would be pretty neat to be able to use this as a camper. And so having one that's a little taller might make that easier, as well as the fact that not only would you have the ability to put a gear loft in the top of it, but also just the ease of getting in it, standing up, doing whatever. So, Black Cat says that's awesome. The other cat says Morgando from Latvia. Okay, I don't know why I'm almost up at 6 a.m., but even so, wanted to pop by, wish you luck and fun, and just go for Elden Ring. After 168 deaths, 4 push-ups per death, 75 per hours played, still enjoying myself. But support lurk on. Meow the cat likes the first one because the reeds would be better, even off-road roads, because roads would be better even off-road. Yes, cigar with glasses, because Cigar Goyle has a little bit of an ocular headache, and so this is helping. You'll want to use it as a camper, probably. Yeah, I mean, I have a cot, and so if I turn the cot sideways, angled, you know, it's a short bed, so it's a 5'7" bed, but that's back of the cab to back of the gate. So if you turn it sideways, it's a little longer than that. So again, like the more I look at this one, the more I actually kind of like it. I actually think it's kind of cool looking. So I don't know. The question there, here's the two ones with the side shots. I guess that just becomes which one would you go? Would you go for the taller one, or would you go for the one that's shorter and flush? King Dinosaur says, I think having a raised gear shelf is awesome. And what is cool about these? So like if you get a cap like this, you have to imagine you could get little LED light strips and put them on the ceiling. So that way then you could have lights in there, and you could even just get it battery powered, even if you didn't want to get it wired into the power of the cab. And so yeah, initially I wanted the one that was like flat in with it, but I actually think the raised one is kind of cool. I actually think it looks kind of neat where it kind of dips down and then goes up. It kind of makes it look like some sort of Black Cat says I only see the taller ones out this way. And my truck is black, so my truck is a black truck. So the color and the trim and everything else would look kind of cool. So, you know, it sounds like people say if you're gonna get it, go with the taller one. You know, I don't like the ones when you look at the rest of these. So, when you're looking at, where are they? Does that go down? I don't think it goes down. They have this one that goes like way tall. I don't like the way that this one looks for whatever reason. I know that's like a bigger whatever door. I just don't like the way that that looks. So that one looks to me too much. I like the one that's the mid-rise. I feel like it still makes it look sort of like a off-road SUV without being too overstated. And I like that it has the locking window, oversized side windows with screens. I love the fact that those have screens because, again, if you're using this as a camper, or even if you're just tailgating or using this to sit somewhere, the fact that you could open those windows and have them be screened so that you aren't getting bugs and shit in there, I think is pretty awesome. So I like all that, and I like that this has the brake light in the back so that you actually get a light so that people can also see that to replace the one that's on the back of the cab. So, adding this up, by the time you think about getting a moving truck, getting some sort of moving truck or a pod, for basically about three quarters ish of that price, I could just have this cap on the back of the truck. And I think at that point, it's then you also have the cap on the back of the truck. You have something that you can use. And initially, while that truck right now is still, I mean, I still have almost 3 years left on a lease. Right now, with the way that shit is not available, I may end up just keeping that truck. I don't know. But I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to buy that instead and instead see if instead of having to get some sort of other moving truck, if I can't just put everything in there for my journey out west. So, thank you all so much for your input. I think you've convinced me. So, when I get that and get it set and settled and done, I'll have to take some pictures. Because that's pretty cool, I think. Especially with the amount of trails and stuff that are out there. I have a feeling I'm going to be doing much more of that. So, it just helps you set up a base camp. Shit, what do I need a tent for? I don't need a tent. I don't need a truck bed tent. Let's fucking sleep in there. Shit, you could put a fan in it and everything and lay in there and you'd be nice and cool, especially since you're off the ground. I don't care if there's flood waters. Dash, you could be like Jack Torsey on Jerry Boys. I have no idea what that is, but sure. Sure. He can store large furniture. Do you know where? I don't know. Especially with scorpions. Yes, you gotta watch out for the Scorpius. I'm almost more worried about snakes than scorpions. Oh, the jerky boys. But so thinking about this stuff, thinking like the technology and stuff that are in pickup trucks, and watching Forbidden Planet, which what a absolutely spectacular film. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And they had it on HD. And so watching what is sort of a science fiction classic and looking at a lot of the styles in themes and even the little pieces of equipment that obviously got carried forward and through into, say, Star Trek, I think it's pretty cool to think about something like a pickup truck in this regard. You got to figure pickup trucks back then weren't anything looking like the pickup trucks you have now, especially since I have a touch screen, basically computer in the front of it. And you look at the rover thing that they bring, which is a some sort of model, it almost looks like a half steamroller. And the funny thing about it is I was looking, I was like, man, that's a cool design for like this little moon rover lifter thing. And you can see in the one shot that there's a wire attached to the front of it that's pulling it, so it clearly doesn't actually work. I'm like, on the same token, you could have just had a fucking pickup truck, and you could have done everything that thing did. And then some. Dash V says, have I thought about the kind of place I want to get after I move? Yes and no. I need to scope the area out a little bit more. Dash, I've thought about everything from do I want to get a place closer to the mountains, closer to the woods, in the city, out of the city. I've actually even thought about the potential of getting some sort of commercial building or shop because a relative of mine does a whole lot of welding and off-road work and fabrication. And part of me is like, well, if you got that, you could say, well, I'll tell you what, if you kick in a little bit of money, you can use this and have it as a shop, and I'll live in there. And then also, we could set up a gym, and you could do all that sort of stuff. And part of me is like, and if you had to get around the residency permit thing, I'll certify this as a business. I'll say that this is a 24/7 gym, and that somebody obviously has to be working here if it's a 24/7 gym. I happen to be the sole employee. So I have to be here working all the time. So I'm not really living here. I'm just at my job all day. Dash V says, I must say, the glasses look great, my friend. Well, thank you so much. These are here. They're blue light blocking. I'm having a little bit of a headache today. And so these help, especially since I'm sitting in front of a bunch of screens now, as you can see reflected in the lens. And even that, I look at this computer setup that I have and I go, the computers and stuff you have now, like you look at their spaceship and it's all dials and little mechanical switches and that sort of thing. And you go, the idea of like a flat panel monitor. I mean, I remember it used to even be like, oh, you look at Star Trek and the flat panel monitors, they weren't really monitors. They were basically lights with gels in front of them, and or then they would put the actual screens in post. But now we have them. Like, and my God, the amount, the how big you can get screens and how thin they are is just incredible. King Dinosaur's got his phone calls. Gotta go. King Dinosaur, thank you so much for stopping by. Love you, dude. Bye. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting strategy. I thought that through, and I sort of talked to a lawyer, and they said, well, that's one of those things where, unless you were doing something really terrible, probably no one is really going to challenge you on that. And if they did, it would be very difficult to prove that that wasn't the case, especially if you said, well, I'm not going to charge these other people rent. You, that's your membership club to the gym slash shop that is open 24/7. So there's your people that have paying memberships, even though it's only limited to people that I know, and I'm not really advertising or selling them. None of your, not your fucking concern. Like, so I've thought about that because I always have had a fascination with sort of small industrial commercial buildings. And given the real estate and everything else that's around, we'll have to see. But what I'm certainly going to try when I A, move out there, and B, stay there, is to not reinflate my list of things. You know, they have that whole tenet of 100 things. You shouldn't need more than 100 things. If you find you need a new thing, you should find a way to get rid of something else or have things that are dual purpose. And while I'm not that hardcore, I do like the idea of getting back to, look, I have a lot of stuff that I really don't need. And outside of that, I'm not talking about gifts or artwork or things that people have given me, but even just like, I don't know, certain kitchen stuff and whatever. And like, why did I buy this? I never fucking use this. And like, stuff in my garage and whatever else. So I'm trying to make it so that when I move, I don't immediately fill up the house that I'm going to be renting with a bunch of stuff and then I have to move it again. I feel like I would like it, if possible, to have to do two more moves. The one to this rental place, and then the next place I go, it would be nice if I could stay there for a while. But I was thinking about that, and like, yeah, and if you had this commercial industrial building, you want to talk about place to potentially have parties. Hey, anyone wants to come stay? You got all sorts of fucking shop space. You want to build and work on stuff or do paintings or whatever. I even just like the way they sound because they just have like a good white noise to them. So I don't know, Dash. That's going to be an interesting adventure. I imagine what I will probably do when I get out there is once I get settled, I'm probably going to go exploring on my motorcycle and just go exploring around and see what's out there. You know, I'm a little familiar with the area, but there's a lot of it that I need to just go see what's on the ground, quote unquote. So, and that's the other reason for the truck cab. With that cap is, hey, I'd like to go explore some of the camping and outdoors areas and stuff like that around there. So we'll see. It'd be cool if you were near some of the Department of Land Management land. Not close enough so that you have to worry about people hauling meth and whatever, but in a distance that if you're like, hey, you want to go out there? Like, okay, 10, 15 minutes, you're out in the middle of nowhere and we can just camp out here. And guess what? All I have to do is throw one trunk in the back and a cot, and I'm done. Like, I don't need to worry about a tent or anything else. I could just. And yeah, if I had an industrial commercial building like that, you could drive your bike right into it, especially if you had some sort of cool roll-up door or something like that. So, we'll see. We'll see. As Dash has said, And I feel like this is super appropriate. Have fun and enjoy the ride. Life is a series of adventures. And so let's get into that a little bit. But podcast folks, let's take a quick break. And so in terms of adventures, I think one of the neatest things about old sci-fi movies, especially something like Forbidden Planet, is the sense of adventure and spectacle. So regardless of what I think of them now, back in the day, Disney, MGM, those matte paintings and designs that they used to do for stuff in space look absolutely cool. I just love the way that they look. And so when you're watching like Forbidden Planet and they have the shots where it's a composite of either the actors and or the spaceships or the buildings, and then in the backgrounds, the trees or the mountains that they give sort of like a moonscape look to. And apparently the director consulted with scientists and they decide that you could have a breathable atmosphere that was more or less green. So they wanted to give it sort of a green appearance. And I think that just when I watch a movie like that, bringing back that this is when sci-fi was fun and it wasn't so much about, I'm going to call it weird politics, but exploring more general human conditions and that sense of adventure and exploration rather than high school drama shit. And so looking at some of these sets and looking at the sets that they built when they go into the Krell laboratories, you know, and he's like, this is 7,800 floors, which I'm like, think about that. Like, I feel like that doesn't make any sense. That would be so deep. Like, what the fuck? But anyway, the sets and the interiors that they built have this nightmarish cleanliness to them. And what I feel like is awesome about that is it's designed in a sense that it's very Lovecraftian-ish to me, but instead of old world basalt carvings, steel and machines, that there's something about them that looks familiar enough to be real, but also alien enough to be slightly terrifying and nightmarish. You know, giant generators that are pulsing that look like they're some sort of electrical component. You don't really know what it's doing. And you think about, well, I don't know, like, what if that thing shorted out? That, I don't know, it could just disintegrate you. Who knows what that is? And large, you know, they have like this elevator shaft where these two things moving sort of in parity. I mean, I don't know, it could be some sort of static drive or some sort of belt pulley generator system. And, you know, it has sort of this green lightning bolt that comes off of it. What an absolute classic, awesome imagination that they put into building those sets, and done with a little bit of some camera trickery, paintings, and just good old-fashioned conventional construction. So if you haven't seen Forbidden Planet in some time, check it out. I have about 15-20 minutes of the movie left that I'm going to watch after this episode. But what a fun adventure. An adventure. And I feel like that's just, as we've talked about before, what gets lost in a lot of the sci-fi now. Maybe sometimes they make it a little too heavy and a little too dark. And so I was remarking that it would be awesome to have some sort of Mass Effect style video game, but instead of making it quite as, I don't want to say contemporary, modern, futuristic, that if they made it retro futuristic, where the robots look more like Robbie the Robot, where the mechanics all had a little bit of sort of that Fallout-esque sort of, it's almost like a pseudo-steampunk, you know, it's that 50s futuristic. You know, everything is rounded edges in moon shapes, you know, even just the lights and stuff like that. Yeah, they don't have LEDs, but a lot more use of colored lights. And lights in unconventional, either ballasts or lamps. And so something that has a retro feel like that, with the rocket ships, the spaceships, and even the suits and everything like that. You know, they really did take what they had at the time: plastics, melamine, bakelite, linoleum, Banlon, all these, you know, sort of new things that were coming about, that they found, hey, we can mold these things into different shapes. You know, you can use translucent plastics and give things color, and just that adventure and exploration of, wow, in the future, everything's gonna look like this. You know, the kitchen of the future. You'll have a robot that does your dishes for you. Ah. I still do mine by hand in an aluminum sink, but Black Cat would love that. Yeah, and it frightens you pretty good when you were a kid. The first time you see that creature, I mean, it looks pretty terrifying. I mean, it looks really cool. And even just the effects of, like, the laser blasters. You know, they pay attention to, there's a scene where they have their defense batteries that are shooting into the distance, and where the shots are hitting the back of this Arroyo, there's like a purple glow where the shots are hitting. And you just got to figure, that wasn't done with CG. That was probably done with a combination of actual flashing lights in the distance and somebody hand painting that over, you know, much like Lucas in the original Star Wars. All those light effects, those are almost all like hand painted. You know, the lightsabers and all that. I mean, they couldn't use CG. They didn't have CG. And so there's a handcrafted artistry to that that looks cool. Yeah, and the force fields with the little blinking lights, and having to go out and manually set those up. Like, I like that the force fields, for example, you know, they have this force field, but it's basically like an electric fence. So it's the idea of, well, okay, it's an electric fence, but you have to have something, you know, having a force field where you just snap your fingers and there's just a circle of force. I don't know, to me that always was kind of nonsense. But here in this movie, you have sort of the sweet difference, which is, well, they have these little posts that they set up with lights, and they look like they're arranged so that they're all pointing at and facing one another. So it's basically sending it from one post to the next. And there's your circle, there's your perimeter. Just what great attention to detail. And those little details, to me, make it feel so real and give it such a good weight. And I think that's what's missing. As I'm watching this, and I'm watching the little car that Robbie the robot drives in, and you have Robbie the robot with his little clickety-clackety, you know, almost looks like a typewriter thing. And what I realized, that what CG to me often misses, in the thing, the special sauce ingredients to me that seems to be missing, it's the sense of weight. There's something about the mass and the way that it moves and lands that is just not right. And I don't 1,000% know how it is that my brain divides that out and can tell. But I think that's why, like, that Harryhausen fight that we showed with Kali, and some of these old science fiction shows or movies where, you know, they had to build something around a tractor or whatever, whether they pulled it on a wire, I don't know what. But even just the sets themselves, of the way that the stuff was built, there's a certain weight to it, and there's a certain lack of detail where you just go, if somebody was building a shelf, they wouldn't build it. Like, yeah, that's clearly done with CG because it's almost overly detailed. Like, nobody would build a thing that looked like that. That's just nonsense. Yeah, imagination, not just what they could fake with CGI. Well, I think that's the thing. I think in some circumstances, CGI has given them almost too much power, so they overdo it. Rather than making simpler shapes have more weight, they've just added more detail. And I feel like that's what's often missing. You know, Robbie the robot, he clunks around, he looks kind of slow. Well, on the same token, because he's kind of tromping around, you just go, well, I don't know, if the thing was made of metal, it probably could just crush you. Like, look at it. So I don't know. It's, but man, like old sci-fi movies like this, I find immensely enjoyable. They're fun and refreshing. Dash wants a trailer with a secret lab that he can drive his car into, like Knight Rider. Dude, that'd be cool. Like, Spy Hunter shit. Is the back drops down, you drive into the back. What if it's a truck? What if it's a truck? And then you put your truck in the truck. And then in the back of that truck, you have a smaller truck or side by side that pulls up into that truck. And then that has a ramp that has a dirt bike that goes into the side by side that goes into the truck that goes into the truck. That's like the Matryoshka doll of vehicles. Like in the new Star Trek movie with Khan. Oh God, let's not even go into that movie. There's a scene where a spaceship crashes into San Francisco. And that spaceship is so large, it might as well have been like Godzilla. It's big enough to like topple buildings. There's all this crazy shit going on. And then they run like a street over, and everybody's just walking around buying a hot dog with a newspaper. I'm like, what? Come on, everybody would be running in terror. You did this CG thing, and you built this huge thing, but you didn't pay attention to how that would react and affect the rest of the world and the setting around you. And that's why this just never fucking works and feels right. The spaceship had this giant, wide-open, fog-filled chasm. Like, what the fuck? All that empty space and you need to fill with oxygen and climate control. What engineer in their right mind would design such an inefficient thing? They wouldn't. And again, I think that is part of the CG gets too lost in the detail. They get too lost in the things that they could do without thinking of, yeah, but if you were building this, who the fuck would build this like this? You wouldn't. And I'm going to take a moment to talk about one of my favorite movies ever, The Last Starfighter, which I think might have been one of, if not the first movie to use CG the way. Actually, the first CG movie might have been Young Sherlock Holmes, but The Last Starfighter has some incredible CG. And what I love about the ships and the fighters in that movie is that the guy that designed them had an interest in aerodynamics and flight, and so he designed the ships in a manner that was consistent with actual flying craft. And you can just tell they don't have that nonsensical look where you just go, "Who the fuck would build that like that? It doesn't make any sense." Maybe if you were building it purely in space, and it was never going to go into an atmosphere. But then, if you're going to build a thing like that, you might as well just make it like the Borg cube. Why not just have it be a fucking box? Fucking, what would you waste it with all these weird shape? Like, you wouldn't do that. It's fucking inefficient as fuck, and you're already tapped with resources. Who the hell would build that like that? And that's where, like, it screams fake. It screams. Artists who do not have to temper their imagination with any sense of reality. And I know that might sound like a contradiction, like I'm going back on my earlier statement, but I think it's important if you're H.R. Giger or you're drawing stuff that is truly meant to be nightmarish and outside the realm of possibility, that's one thing. But if you're designing to me a spaceship that humans made, well, it's got to have some sort of design that looks like it would be a thing that would have a practical reason why you designed it that way. Like, stuff is expensive. And, like, look at the price of gas right now. And you're telling me that somebody's going to, like, build a thing like that? Like, oh, it's got all these things sticking out all over it with antennas and shit. The fuck would do that? The instant you came through anything, like, debris and shit would be knocking that shit off of there. Like, get the fuck out of town. It's a big, wide open hole in the middle of it, and it's full of fog. What is that, like the fart collector where all the fart gas goes? What the fuck? Like, and so watching this Forbidden Planet, I feel like watching it with a critical eye, they, to me, make some mistakes, obviously. And I feel like one of the first mistakes that, one of the most glaring ones to me anyway, is the scale and size of the spaceship that they land on the planet in relative to the crew and the space on the interior shots and the size of the creature. It doesn't fit. It's too small. It probably needed to be at least 5 to 10 times bigger than it is, as it's shown. But I realize they probably didn't and or couldn't do that because they would have had to have, A, built a model or a piece of set that was enormous. But that, B, then you wouldn't have been able to see it as much. It would have just been a piece of gray in the background. But the scale on that is off. That's one of the one things that, like, bothers me a little bit. It's like, no, it doesn't make sense. You have 19 people on there, and you have all this gear and all the rest of this bullshit. But then you look at that fucking flying saucer. And again, you have this flying saucer. You're like, okay, so outside in the outer ridge, what are you putting on there? I mean, I guess you could put your sacks of rice over there, but that's unusable space at that point. Unless it's filled with insulation or something, I don't know. But like, who designed that like that? It's fucking terrible. Fucking doesn't make any fucking sense. You wouldn't do that like that. It's a waste. You appreciate art, but time and place. If it's more psi than phi, then focus energies in the right place. Yeah, if it's the color out of space and it's meant to be some amorphous crazy monster that's meant to be outside the realm of human comprehension, fine, go wild. But on too many of these, I feel like they just, like the Transformers movies. I'm like, you're in these Transformers movies, but there's too many parts. Like, you have a thing with that many little moving bolt. Like, who would build a thing like that? It's preposterous. You wouldn't, no. Like, just fucking quit it. Oh, you get wind-zipped when you board. But the monster doesn't. The monster is walking up the steps, and there's a shot of the monster walking up the steps. And you look at the size of the creature, and you go, okay, so that's one size. But then you see it from a further distance, and there's a guy standing next to it, and you're like, that's not the same size. Unless they swapped out their steps in the middle of the night. Hey, I know. Let's have a big fart chasm in the middle of the ship. A big hole with just nothing in it. That's where I'll say, like, Babylon 5. Babylon 5, to me, is way underrated because they paid attention to how the gravity works on the station and the way the ships are built and so on and so on and so on. I love the retro design of stuff like that. I feel like, again, things get a little too lost in the polygons. We have 18 bazillion trillion polygons we can use to model this thing, so let's use all of them. No, I think that's a case of where less is more. Now, when you watch the film, you're going to think of it as a fartgasm, so like, and you're like, oh God, did you go in that area? Jesus, what do the people fucking eat on this ship? I don't know, it's some synthetic protein stuff. I think it might just be concentrated farts. Hey, why are all the, I mean, you guys could have picked any color in the world for your spacesuits. Why did you pick brown? Oh, okay, now I get it. I feel like the use of colors and stuff like that too. You know, again, like if you had stuff like that, especially if you're going to be in space, like wouldn't you want things to have some reflective neon collars and stuff like that, so that if you were on, so you'd be like, hey, there it is. Not everything is black, matte gray. I don't know. Did I ever read what space smells like? No, but given a vacuum, I imagine it wouldn't smell like anything. But what is it supposed to smell like? I'm gonna imagine in my head that it smells like a Sharpie marker. Reminds me of the bathroom in the gym today. Oh, God. And can they put some ventilation in there? You go into the men's locker room, and it's like humid and sticky. And then some dude will take some just rancid dump. And it's right near the shower. So he's taking hot showers. And it's all hot and steamy. And then there's just like poop. Like, can you put some fan or some sort of exhaust in here? Because this is fucking disgusting. And then there was a guy, he like washed his socks. And then he was drying his socks off with the hairdryer. And so the whole place just smelled like roasted asshole. It smelled like finky feet, poop, and like man mist. God, it was terrible. Ugh, like seriously, I was gagging. Hot socks. Hot fucking cheese foot socks, poop, and sweaty funk. According to MSN, the final frontier smells a lot like a NASCAR race, a bouquet of hot metal diesel fumes and barbecue. The source? Dying stars, mostly. But I feel like that kind of doesn't make any sense, though, because if it's a vacuum, how would you be able to smell anything? There's nothing for any of that to be transmitted, because that's like had to be particles that you're. I mean, maybe. I guess maybe if those particles are. I imagine that if you had to smell what it smelled like, you'd probably A, die instantly. And I've heard it's. I mean, the vacuum is bad, but like if you didn't freeze to death, you would just get instantly fucking roasted by the radiation that hit you unshielded from solar bodies. So I don't know. Forbidden planet! When astronauts are outside the ISS, spaceborne compounds adhere to their suits and hitch a ride back into the station. Astronauts have reported smelling burned or fried steak after a spacewalk. It's wild. Okay, yeah, see that I could see. The material stuck to the suit. Those little fine part, I mean, you gotta imagine dust, right? Space dust. And it's on your suit and you get back. That I could imagine. But yeah, you can't smell a vacuum directly. It doesn't make any sense. That's fascinating. That's a fact. And like stuff like that, right? Like you never, like,
Smells.
you never hear about like people making comments about things being smelly. But like we're all smelly. And like you come back after you're on some space mission where this dude. It's like, okay, you're like, look, I love Ripley. I love Sigourney Weaver. She's nice. But I always imagine, like, okay, these chicks are out on some space mission. So they're out, like, in suspended animation or whatever. And they probably just have, like, the biggest fucking greasy bush spider legs. And then they're just wearing these cotton panties, and then they're in this fucking space suit, and they're all hot and sweaty, and then like you're gonna get out of that space suit, and then people just put them on, and they're like, like God, those space suits probably smell like fucking butthole, fucking Bill Paxton or whomever the fuck gets in there, and he's all hairy back, man back, just sweaty, just. Probably a little bit of pee-pee comes out and dude doesn't fucking wipe his butt. Black Cat likes a good BO. Well, I'll tell you what, if I ever meet you face to face, you'll have to tell me if my BO is good or not. But like, there's a good BO and then there's like old hockey gear. Like, old hockey gear is some of the worst smelling shit. Like, hockey gear or like firefighter uniforms. It's all like fungus and sweat and just sweaty peepee butthole, as Black Cat has said. The universe is just one big barbecue. Dash V would not last as an astronaut because he'd keep being like, wonder what the moon smells like. I wonder what Mars smells like.
Smells.
That's that Black Cat would be like, But like, I have sinus issues. So smell like that is a big important thing to me. And so maybe not quite like Black Cat, but I'm always like, smells. What's this fog in the middle? Oh. Now they talk about Star Trek, those Star Trek outfits, their little like mechanic unitard, whatever things are supposed to be made to be like the perfect piece of clothing. Endlessly comfortable and casual and professional and never wrinkles and doesn't transmit odor and it's antimicrobial and blah 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 blah. And I feel like somebody was like, dude, those suits have got a fucking stink. Hey, LaForge, you just worked for 16 hours in the middle of some sweaty engine room. Man, dude, your ass fucking reeks. Jesus, get the tenactin. You're like, no, it's a special space suit. Oh, okay. Sure. Wrong. Black Cat, you could not be further wrong about that. Everyone knows that Mars is just a giant atomic fireball, red hot, and tastes like the most delicious cinnamon. Not Clamato. There's no clam. There's no clam on Mars. Clamato, nobody likes Clamato. It's delicious. I'm going to go with cinnamon because I love cinnamon. Atomic fire. It's just a giant atomic fireball. Prove me wrong. You haven't been up there. You haven't tasted it. Give it a lick. You're like, it is cinnamon. But the moon could be cheese. The moon very well might smell like cheese. It could be Limburger. It could just be like an old, like it's like a Gouda, like an old aged Gouda cheese. Your fartcasm theory could have some merit. All that random methane has to get routed somewhere to preserve the artificial atmosphere. Of course, yeah, right? Where else is it gonna go? And they're like, look, everybody is eating Beanie Weenie or Bush's fucking pork and beans from the fucking replicators because we're having an energy problem. And that's like, so like everybody on the ship was eating beans. And so they just have horrendous gas. And like, what are we gonna do with all this? Like fucking air purifier. Like, besides of which, we can use that for other energy and whatever. So like, don't let anything go to waste. Yeah, conies. All the rest. That would be my thing. I'd be like a terrorist. They always have these things where like, oh, he reprogrammed the computer and he's going to use it to funnel a nucleocalamarkifark beam at the Bourbalon Schmaggeties and disintegrate them. I'd be like, no, I'd reprogram the computer and be like, everybody eats hot dogs. Hot dogs. He's like, tea, Earl Grey, hot. And a fucking hot dog falls out of the thing. It's like, God damn it. All he gets is hot dog water. Yeah, fuck that, you bald son of a bitch. Fuck you, British asshole. You don't get no Earl Grey. You get hot dog water. Enjoy your hot dog water, motherfucker. And you, fucking Deanna Troi, you're gonna be walking around, you're gonna try to be giving counseling, and you're gonna have horrendous gas pains because all you can do is hold in your horrendous farts because you've been eating nothing but Cody's. Cody's! Computer, give me any other food! Oh, you want a Coney? And then chili. Everybody's chili all over everybody. It's all over the ship. Everybody's just a fucking mess. Worf's got it in his beard. Oh, this is the warrior's food. And he's just like this. He's like, Worf is like fucking Ralph from the Muppet Show, but just more badass. But he's just got it all in his hair and his beard and shit. And he's like brushing his beard, and there's pieces of fucking beef chili falling, and he's got mustard and shit all over him. Whole ship just fucking stinks. God, I'm like fucking five. I don't even fucking care. I love all you guys so much. So that's it's a fartgasm. It was too hard to critical the artist for no reason. What a dumb jackass I am. They're like, no, actually, there's a scientific. Well, actually, the. Ship docks at the space station, and they open it up, and they're just like, oh God, this is Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and we've been eating nothing but conies. And somebody also has just murdered Wesley and stuffed him in a Jeffries tube because fuck that fucking dickhead. Computer, location of Ensign Crusher. Ensign Crusher is dead in one of the Jeffries tubes, and I'm not going to tell you which one because that guy sucks. That'd be the other thing I'd program in the computer. They'd be like, all the paint, everything's just paint. All the seats are all like musty and sticky. The guy goes to sit down at Cannes and he sits in it. He's like, oh, like this cloud comes up. It's so thick you can see it. It's like fucking thick mold spores. They're like trying to type and their hands are all like sticky on the panel. God, this shit fucking. More like the USS Enter smells. Shit fucking stinks. This has turned into one of the best episodes ever. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Captain. I've put in for reassignment. Why is that? God, have you smelled this fucking place? Black, I wish I could see you laughing right now. Dish viewed, messed with the replicators or anything folks tried to make look like something different. Computer, pickled dill makes a pickle that tastes like a coney. Everything tastes like a coney. Or it's like, it all tastes good, but it just looks like fucking dog food. It looks like fucking old dog food. And be like, I'm not hungry. Or the opposite. It looks fucking perfectly gourmet, but it tastes like dog food. Oh, God, I gotta go to sick bay. I don't feel so good. Why? I hate dog food. Alright. The drink is empty. I think this was both a combination of a very informative episode and then obviously goes off into traditional Cigar Goyle Lounge territory, which is just fucking bonkersville. Thank you all so much for stopping by. hilarious. You're all hilarious. I love you. I love interacting with the chat. You guys are the fucking best. Ever put something in your mouth that's not bad, but not what you expected? Dash.
I have to go to the bathroom now.
I'm going to start throwing up. I'm laughing so hard. As we say at the end of all these episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all that good shit. We'll see you again tomorrow.